Hey there, everyone. It's Laura.
And Margs.
And we're here for another episode of
Too Late Brunettes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, it's been 2 weeks. Although it doesn't feel that long.
But it's,
we were
it's
last on your beautiful patio.
Oh my gosh. The weather is getting nicer and nicer.
Oh, it's beautiful out, blue skies. We just saw a rainbow through the clouds.
Which is like
beautiful blue skies.
Such a nice sign, right?
Yes. It just
felt like the universe is telling us something, guys.
We're in the right place at the
right time. So, you know, I thought, Margaret, one thing we could tell people a little bit is about us, because I don't know if everyone knows that we are both personal stylists.
Yeah.
In the Washington, D.C. area.
Yes, we are. And we haven't really ever talked bios.
No.
But I don't know that we need to give the whole background, just like what we're... Is that what we're talking about right now?
What our background is. I mean, you can talk about how you've had Lily's Closet.
Yes.
Margot Lily's stylist has been around for a long time.
I have. I launched Lily's Closet. That was like my first go around in 2006.
I mean,
which was like
that's a legacy.
Before this was a popular trade.
You were trailblazing,
I Marks. Totally was. I mean, I'm going to toot my own horn. It was like I didn't really know what I was doing, but I knew it was something fun and creative.
And that you were meant to do.
I was absolutely meant to do it. And all these doors just kept opening. And I feel like when you're in the right thing, that's what happens.
That's what happens. It's true.
It was great. And what about you?
So after working for, I worked in vintage for a little while, mm-hmm. and then I worked for Anthropologie and J. Crew as personal shoppers for them.
Yes.
I ended up launching my business about 9 years ago. So not that long ago, but it's been a while.
But it has been a while, and it feels like longer than that because you've been styling for longer than that.
I've been styling for a long time.
Yes.
But having our own businesses has been nice because it's given us a little bit of flexibility. And we get to know a lot of amazing people, and we're also not bound by a store, so we get to take and shop anywhere.
And it is interesting, when I did try to sort of partner with Nordstrom as one of their stylists, it felt a little too
a little limiting.
So
we still love Nordstrom,
but we have more freedom this way for sure
to work with different kinds of clients.
Yes. Absolutely.
So guys, we are here because we're going to talk about, actually before we get to it, we have our favorite segment, Sands of Time.
Sometimes the whispers.
Sometimes loud. So Sands of Time, this time around, is going to be about one of our favorite trends, which is an 80s trend that's back, which are aviators and shield sunglasses.
Yes.
So the ones that make you look like you're either flying an airplane or that make you look like you are doing extreme sports, those are the ones that everyone is shopping for now.
Right, and maybe the latter... in the future, because they feel a bit futuristic.
They feel futuristic.
The shields. In
they're
particular.
Wider and bigger than the aviators. Aviators, think Top Gun.
Think Top Gun for sure.
And then shields, think like Oakleys or like sort of like sports,
sporty.
Like Montclairs. You know.
Yes. Skiing. Like they remind me of a ski goggle, but a more delicate version of it.
Exactly.
Like a ski goggle with
thinner arms. Exactly. And there are a bunch of brands now, like YSL, Tom Ford.
Yes.
Both Margaret and I have the Isabel Marant
ones.
Those are a little smaller. They're not quite as large and oversized.
Right. Now, which ones were you wearing in New York that were more oversized?
Those were by Ellisteva.
Oh, I loved those.
And those were very big. So the Ellistevas I love too, because they're quite... And it's funny because even though everything now is oversized in terms of accessories, I feel like there's something very stylized about the aviator. Like it has
absolutely.
A very distinct look.
Yes. And I love it with everything.
I love it.
I love to add that when I'm doing something really feminine. to add the aviator, you know, to juxtapose for a little sport. Sporty.
I love it on the beach. Maybe it makes me feel sportier than I am.
Yes. What was that show when they all were in the Baywatch?
Baywatch.
The aviators and the shields, I feel like, on that. But, yeah, so loving our shades.
We're loving our shades. And, guys, in order for us to, well, one thing we're going to do is talk about how to make more room in your closet,
yes,
which all of us want, so
right,
we can buy more things.
Yes.
But also, we like to recycle because we all probably have too much stuff.
Right.
And I think the best way to go about that is with consignment. So
yeah,
we're
going
to give you guys some consignment tips.
Yes.
So, Margs, what do you think, like, how do you start when you're first thinking of consignment?
So, I start with, like, my own little closet review,
yeah,
I would say. And, you know, talking sunglasses just to kick things off, like, I started when I knew I was wanting to do some consigning, like, and I made the appointment first because very often they're backed up and you have to wait a
and
bit.
And that's smart because...
Yes.
You also are pushed to do it
because
yes, you know it has to be done.
Right. So I made the appointment. Then I checked my little sunglasses nook, where I have a mountain, embarrassingly, of designer sunglasses. And I grabbed the ones I really wasn't gravitating to. So I started with like the little things and then like little accessories like that. And then I went to my closet and just conquered it, and it was a lot at first. So
well, it's, you know, it's good to kind of have a system, and I think when we break it down,
yes,
by keep, donate, or consign,
exactly,
that's a way to get started.
Yes.
And I think at the beginning it's always a little hard and we're always a little slow,
right,
but I think once we get in the groove of it,
well,
you kind of start rolling.
You do. And you, speaking of rolling, having a garment rack right there.
Oh, that's perfect.
I always wheel one down my little hall. I'm making it sound like I have a giant space. It's a little cramped. I do have the closet. And you've
I
seen...
I love your closet.
So...
Walk-in closet!
Yay! I know. It's a... It feels like a luxury. Poor Frank. He's like...
Oh, my
crammed
God.
Into a little
Margaret,
closet.
Margaret, you've seen my shoes.
Room.
I mean, we're almost at the stage of Carrie Bradshaw, where
yes,
the shoes are going to end up being stored in the oven.
So, yes. So, I... The garment rack, and then...
Sorting
by category, really. Like, similar to what we do with our clients, we are tackling one category at a time in our own closets.
And it's really good to have your expectations set up. So you think, is it something that you just want to purge? Is it something that you're really looking to make some money on? Is
mm-hmm,
it something that you're just ready to let go and donate? It's really good to consign if you can, because...
Right.
You at least are recycling. It's not ending up in a landfill like so many things are. And there are,
yes,
a bunch of different brand stores and online consignments that you can do. Like,
yes,
there's Poshmark, Vestiaire,
Real.
ThredUp
is one
a lot
as well.
Of it, Margs, right? You would say it depends on also what pieces you have that you're trying to consign.
Right.
Right? The
and
higher or the lower.
Exactly.
What would you suggest?
Well, so you have dabbled more on the higher end online consignments like Vestiaire and
Real.
I have had pieces that definitely could have gone in that direction, but I ended up going brick and mortar with those, which we'll talk about in a second. For ThredUp, any of the J. Crew's, Banana, I think they'll even take Banana Republic.
Gap,
all of those sort of...
Lower price point,
yes,
fridge brands, or I like to call them high street
brands. Is what I was thinking. You just make sure they are clean. You've got to launder or dry clean. With anything cotton, I just launder it.
I definitely launder and iron if you can.
Yes.
You know, the is it the most money you'll get is when it's the most presentable.
Exactly.
So, you know, if it's crumpled up in a bag, it's not going to be very conducive.
So it's worth it to take the time, even though it feels tedious at the time, to...
And unnecessary.
Yes.
But it, a lot of... And so a lot of places also have some conditions, and that leads us also into the brick and mortar stores.
Right.
So we have places in the local area, in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia, like Reds Trading, Current Boutique is a chain. There's Newsed
in Herndon.
New to You in Falls Church.
Right. So all of these are both consignment and like secondhand designer places, depending. With Reds, we found that they were a secondhand designer because they paid up front. For the items, and I had arranged from Chanel to DVF, Diane von Furstenberg. I don't think anything below, they won't take J. Crew, will they?
So every store has their conditions.
Yes.
And a lot of times they will talk in tiers about the brands they accept. So they usually want the high end right away. They'll do mid price points. I think the ones they usually say no to are brands like H&M, Forever 21, Zara.
Yes.
But once in a while, if it's a really special thing, they might take it.
Well, especially if it's been gently used.
Used.
And I think the gentler, the better for pieces that are more fast fashion.
Exactly.
Labels.
Exactly. So you have kind of an option, right? Because it's like if you know, I have, for example, my thread up bag that I put all of my sort of fast fashion pieces that I don't want to just dump anywhere.
Yes, exactly.
And then I have my higher end pieces that I'm not ready to just let go into the universe. I want them to find the right home.
Right, a special new home.
A special new home. And so they usually have, you know, some of the things that a lot of these consignment shops or secondhand designer shops are looking for, they want them to be in good condition, no holes, no stains, no older than 2 to 3 years old.
Right.
They usually want them to be on trend or to
have... I
have
one exception to that rule, which are I had two vintage Chanel pieces.
Yeah.
That were older.
Older, but they're vintage.
And they're Chanel.
So that changes the ball game.
Right, that changes it a bit. But otherwise, yes, I feel like 1 to 2 years.
Exactly.
Maybe 3.
Yeah.
Gently used if it's like past.
Well, and I mean, I would take greatly used Chanel if someone was handing it to me.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on, guys.
Please.
But you want to make sure that you're, you know, presenting sort of like your options in the best light. Now with consignment, it's really about waiting till your item is accepted and then sells. So usually they go through your items at the store, they decide what they're going to keep, they give you back what they're not,
right.
And then there is a formula, either like a 60-40 or a 70-30, a percentage that the store takes and what you take home.
Right.
So obviously the more expensive stuff you're going to make more money on.
You are. And then most of them, as Laura, what you were mentioning before, was... They will donate, most of these consignment shops will donate anything that doesn't sell, unless you have requested otherwise to get your items back.
To get your items back, if you have a specific charity you want to donate to, but they will do it on your behalf. But it's really cool, and it's kind of sustainable, and you never you don't realize sometimes there are things just sitting in your closet that you haven't worn in years.
Well, yes, especially with our lifestyles these days.
Yeah.
Moms, we're doing a lot of running around. We're doing a lot of, I'm finding I'm doing a lot of sweating lately. and so I'm not wearing anything to, like anything that has to be dry cleaned during the week.
No.
And I'm definitely buying
wash and wear.
More cottons and wash and wear items in general. So like there was this category in my closet of these like special pieces that while it was a little painful to get rid of, it wasn't getting rid, it was like giving them a new home, new life.
New life. And somebody else is going to find it and just feel like they hit the jackpot.
Yes, exactly. So I'm like, I let it all go, and I'm ready to fill the closet with new, fresh
things.
Sweatproof pieces.
So, Marks, here's a question as a personal shopper, stylist, closet extraordinaire. What do you do when a client, because, you know, one of the things we like to do is also help clients purge their closets.
Yes.
And there's always something in there that maybe is used or maybe is not worn anymore, but it has a lot of sentimental value.
Right.
So it's like we're a little bit nervous to just push them to throw it away.
Right.
So what...
For that type of piece, I usually let them kind of create a little box,
yes,
of mementos from the closet or whatever. So we're folding them down gently, and we can pull out that box whenever they have, you know, accessibility. It's not like up in the dusty attic. I don't love that idea because then it's like out of sight, out of mind.
And you forget you have
it. Yeah, I want them to be able to like grab it, look at it. I mean, we have like rehearsal dinner dresses. We have wedding gowns. We have sometimes it's more a sadder, you know, event that you feel attached to, and you don't want to get rid of the black dress for that purpose.
Exactly,
you know, for that
reason, but you don't want it taking up room. You know, sometimes
right.
There's a sweater an old boyfriend gave you, or
yes,
a pair of jeans that you wore to bits in college, but you know, you don't know if you'll fit into them again. But you're not ready to
get rid of them.
I think the folding them in a small, like limiting the size of the box,
right,
and saying it's going to fit in here, and I'm going to put it in the top,
yes,
back of my closet,
right,
and then you have it, knowing it's there.
Right, because you definitely don't want those types of pieces taking up prime real estate in the closet. I'm always like, front and center, that should be the things we're wearing.
All the time.
All the time.
And once you do this really big kind of overhaul, you're shocked at what you find. And you,
yes,
you know, Margaret, you're so good at, you know, helping people shop their closets.
Right.
They have things that they didn't realize
were true
gems, and they're wearing them.
They are. We're pulling things out of the, you know, from the back to the front that they just didn't know they had. And then I think that's one of the most fun things to do in a client's closet is to shop the closet and to show them all of the
possibilities
and combos that they had in there. So
that's true. It's great, and it's a very nice relief once you've done the purge,
mm-hmm,
you shop the closet, and then you make your shopping list. What do you
right
really need? Now I know we all have needs and wants, and sometimes the wants take over.
Yes. Oh,
but
do they ever?
Having an actual need. I mean, like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but one of my needs is a pair of white jeans.
I thought you were going to say a white t-shirt. I need fresh white tees.
White tees.
You need a white jean.
Those are, you know, not really out there requests.
Right.
So.
And I feel like very often the items we have on the client shopping list is the staples.
The basics. Because
the
they don't seem exciting or sexy to buy, but they're things that you need.
Right.
When you reach for it in the closet.
Exactly. So... Yeah.
So, Margs, what are some things that are on your shopping list that you're excited about?
Oh, God, Laura, putting me on the spot. What do I have in there? I've got sets in my cart right now.
Oh,
like
I love sets. Two-piece
white set, like a little cropped tee with, like, some eyelet. You know me. I love a little feminine,
yes,
breezy,
with, like, the matching short,
which is very
popular.
Or the matching little... kind of flounce skirt,
yeah,
with more eyelet,
oh,
at
love
the trim, and I just feel like it's going to be a perfect little beach outfit, or even, I mean, it won't work at my son's baseball games, sadly, but it will work, you know, anytime I'm going to the beach this summer, or I have a trip planned to Florida, it'll be perfect for that.
It'll be perfect. Yep.
What do you have in yours?
I really, you know, I told you this back at the Manhattan Vintage, but I really want a long white kind of macrame or crocheted dress.
Yes. Oh,
something
my God, beautiful
that I can wear to the beach.
Yes.
You know, that maybe is a little sheer, but, you know, seeing that we're trying to keep it kind of like quasi acceptable for Northern
family
Virginia.
Family friendly. You said it.
I'm gonna put like maybe a tube bra underneath, yes, and you know, some boy shorts, yeah, and a way to kind of do a little peekaboo and play, but then at the same time, it's you know, it's fun, it's playful.
Well, yes, and it's like, yeah, it's happening right now. Like, let's wear the. That's what I love about trends.
I know.
I mean, just have fun with it.
And there's so many great things right now. Yeah. So I am super excited. But well, guys, we're wrapping up because we're a little bit over time, but yeah, we're very excited for next time because I know we'll have some good topics for
you. I can't wait.
Thanks, kiddos.
Thanks, guys. Ciao.
Ciao.